Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Part 2 of Private Parts, the podcast where nothing is off limits.
Yeah.
There you go. Just driving it down the street.
not even the word nonce.
Yeah. Not even the word nonce.
Okay, well, come on. Let's hear it.
I think we should probably get, like, you should guess. What do you think?
Do we have to clarify what the word nonce is?
Yeah, when you mean, clarify what nonce is.
It's a paedophile.
It's a paedophile.
Well, I would say it's a slang term for...
It is a slang term for paedophile. Well, technically, yes, it is a slang term.
It's not scientific.
I don't know what it's...
Okay, it's very British, but yeah. So I only found out this fact recently, right? And I sent my parents this challenge.
Just at Christmas.
Sister. It just made me laugh. I had to take a step back and be like...
To get everyone in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, the word nonce.
Gather around, everyone. Yeah. Gather around the fire. Yeah. I've got a story to tell you.
Yeah, but I got told this the other day, and I was just like, oh my God, that's really clever.
I really want to know. Come on, I really want to know.
So it originates from prisons,
yeah,
right, whereby, obviously, they have to separate paedophiles from murderers and those types of things, right? So it originates from that. And when the guards used to have to be able to understand who's... paedophile, who's not, etc., if they're in separate cells, they would write nonce, n-o-n-c-e, on the door of a paedophile. And what that would mean is not on normal courtyard exercise, so that they wouldn't go out at the same time, as so they wouldn't let them all out at the same time, because sometimes it was dangerous to mix the two groups together. Am I right?
Well?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Gee, dude, I like that one. Do you know where the saying touch wood comes from? You know, go, oh, touch wood.
Yeah, I don't know where.
Touch wood. So anyway, so back in the day, back in pagan times.
Same day.
Whatever that was. Well, they used to believe that spirits were in the wood. Yeah. So when they used to say something like, I don't know, I want to get married to that person, I'm in love with them, I hope they love me back, they would bang on the wood so the spirits wouldn't hear them, because if the spirits heard, then they would stop the thing from happening.
Oh,
hence the saying touch wood.
So they'd have to bang the whole time whilst they're talking. That is so annoying.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It's a good one though, right?
Like that.
Don't worry about it, guys. Ray, listen, also I do want to, because what you mentioned before about, you know, your family things, I had no clue about that, about your dad, but, and you know, with your godfather and with yourself, you've had like a, to get serious with saying, you've had like a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
You have had a lot of heartache.
Yeah, but my thing is, it's, and you know, Alex, I'm sure you can agree. There becomes a moment where you just realize that's life, and that is what it is, and you have to understand that, and sometimes it is really, really shit. Like, and it's about how you progress from that. You know, and are you going to be one of those people that looks on it and you go, woe is me, and you know, oh, this bad shit happens to me, and that's why someone should feel sorry for me or anything like that? Or are you going to be someone that's like, you know, this is the situation?
I feel like there's an equal and opposite to it. So like, obviously it's so shit, but then out the other side, you can actually take so much positive.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to like almost deconstruct and break down something to then build out. Like better,
definitely.
Type of thing.
That's why therapy is such an amazing thing.
Yeah, therapy is amazing. I do it every week.
Yeah, same.
I do it every single week. But right, I watched your, which I think it was Silent Emergency, right?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Did I send you a message that maybe I didn't?
Yeah,
send?
Dude. Yeah.
Honestly, man, I was. Yeah. It touched me, and I'm sure a lot of people, but just for me personally, it touched me in so many ways. And
thanks, man.
The way you navigated it,
yeah,
it's unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
Like, and for anyone who, I mean. You can explain.
Yeah, no, I lost my best mate to
to suicide. And like when I say unexpected, like just unbelievable. If I was to line up every single person was that was really at my friend group,
yeah,
genuinely, like if I had put 20 people that I knew, I would have put Joe last. So Joe was my radio producer. He's my best friend. Like, you know, those people that you work with but also go out with, you know, mm-hmm. which is it's hard. So you know, together every day, you know, he sat next to me every day in the radio studio for the whole time I've ever been doing it. And then one day, you know, he doesn't turn up for work, and by 8 o'clock whilst I'm still doing the show live, I find out he's gone.
Oh my god.
And you know, and one of our team has found him, and that's
you were live at the time.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Roman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that we thought we were going over there to wake him up, you know. So you know, I'm kind of texting him and I'm seeing it go to one tick on WhatsApp and those types of things. And you know, to be honest, I thought he just overslept. You know, thought that was the case, but it was that for me was, I don't know. I kind of went into like protection mode for the rest of the team at that point, like because I don't know. Like I just went into, okay, what's the formality here? Need to do this. What do we do? But it took me a long time to grieve over that because I hated him. For months, the first half of me making that documentary, I would wake up every day, right? Hand on heart, I'd wake up every day and say, "You prick." Like, I was like, and be like, "How have you done me like that? Your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, sorry, and all your friend group. How have you done that?" Like when I know that if I'd had one conversation, I would have been able to speak to him. You know, I had always been, you know, as I'm sure a lot of guys that and the stats don't lie, a lot of guys, you know, even statistically within this room, guys think about suicide and have a moment in their life where they feel like they're on that edge a lot more than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I was very open with Joe about my own thing about that. That's what another reason why I was like, fuck you, man. Mm. Like, you know, and I think from that, it just became, I don't know, like, this kind of, I knew I had to get over it, and I knew the best way. And again, this is using, you know, our luck in our industry to be able to say, you know what, I do have the ability to go and meet a professor, to go and meet someone that's tried to take their own life, someone that's, you know, on the mend, all these types of things. And I can do that via a TV show. And if I do that via a TV show or a documentary, it's going to help me because I feel like I'm satisfying a creative need in my brain, but I'm also giving myself therapy.
Yeah, but Ro, there's a great bit which I thought someone told me once, right?
Mm.
It's very easy for us to sit here and say, let's get over the stigma of mental health.
Yeah.
It's very different to say, I have depression, I have anxiety. And what you did in that documentary is you said, I have had it, which for me was, yeah, okay, you're making a documentary about your friend and raising awareness, and that's amazing, but you also pointed the audience towards you.
Yeah.
And that is a hard thing to do, because there was a moment in it, and I honestly, like, applauded you, because, you know, I've had my anxiety and different things, I, you know, I at one point when I had severe anxiety, I had to use medication because I was just in an awful place.
Of course.
There was a moment in it where you mentioned your sertraline, I think it was sertraline that you take, and to me, I always, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but I thought you were like, no, now's the time that I need to stand up and set, and I don't think even producers or anyone knew that you were going to do that, and I think you just suddenly went, fuck it, I'm going to do this because it needs to happen.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I was like, I had had like real like stuff kind of going on in my own life, like in, you know, the early days of me doing the breakfast show, like, you know, like when it's not a normal thing to see yourself on a billboard or a bus or anything like that.
It's not at all.
Right? Yeah. And I was like going from like, whoa, there's this massive expectation that I'm this super happy, always up guy. And it's like, and then I come home and I'm like, I don't feel like that. You know, and it's like, so I would have these like huge kind of demons in my own head about that. And, you know, where I fit, you know, am I good enough or those types of things? Like so many guys do.
Always.
Right?
That imposter syndrome, man. It comes out with everyone.
With absolutely everyone. And I think that from that, what happened was I got myself in such a state. And I remember I got in a really dark place where I had kind of planned out how I was going to take my own life. Right.
Wow.
And and it wasn't good. And you know, and I ended up, my mum kind of calls me and this whole thing happens. But I, after that, my, you know, my agent, who is my, one of my best friends, right? You know, she's been with me since the beginning. You know, she knew about that. And I kind of, at the time, I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, I'm a bit worried. Like, because if that ever came out, then people are just going to be like, what does this kid know about this, this and that? Like, it's not a great look. And I'm at the start of my career and it's already, you know, talking about depression and things like that. And, you know, we kind of both agreed, and I personally agreed. And I was like, look, let's just leave that. If someone brings up mental health with me at the minute, I'm not there to talk about it. I'm not ready to talk about it. As soon as Joe died, I was like, fuck that. I like I can't, how can I go out there and make a documentary about someone else and sit on a lie? And be like, oh, I don't really know about it. Tell me about it.
But it's also mirroring almost like how annoyed you were at him for not speaking. Yeah. Like, it's just being honest, I guess.
100%.
Yeah, and it's so brave, man. It really is, because you're, I think so many people, especially, you host a radio show. You're meant to be this upbeat person, you said every day, but actually everyone has their struggles, even someone who's on the radio. And the fact that you were able to go out there and say that about yourself, because... for many years, I didn't say anything. Everyone in this room, I'm sure, didn't say stuff. And you said it, not only, you said it in such an exposing, great way.
Yeah, well, but to be honest, it was, what I realized midway through that making the doc is that we're not making a doc about suicide. We're making a doc about friendship. And like you say, the hardest thing to do, the thing I used to hate is I hate people saying, if you're sad and you feel down, you should talk to someone. Fuck, like, that's so hard, man. Mm. Like, that's the hardest thing. So where the message needs to go towards is those people's friends. Like, the onus needs to come away from the person that's already struggling. Don't put more pressure on them to talk. Get the friends around them. The friends should be talking around them. The friends should be, you know, like, helping one another. And that's what I learned. You know, I meet the lads in Reading in the documentary who, you know, and they're like, you know, I said to them, like, you know, they lost their close friend. I said, how do you look after each other now? And they say, we make a kind of vow to one another that we will ask each other, are you okay, twice? You know, and that's where that kind of two okay thing came from in the doc, because these lads have kind of taken it on themselves to look after their friends. They're not saying to their mate, you know, talk to me. They're not. They're like, I will get it out of you.
Jeez, man.
And that's a really important thing.
I like
thing,
that I too, because like if you say you're right to someone, it doesn't actually mean you're right. Like,
but why? It should be the most important thing.
I guess it's just rewriting like cultural sort of norms, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. But what's weird is that that's only within British language.
It is, yes. Yeah,
You go to America, you go back to LA or anything like that, and you go, hey, how are you? They go, oh my God, thanks so much for asking. Like, do you know what I mean? They'll tell you.
I know.
You know?
I know. Why in the UK do we have this sort of attitude to just to hold ourselves
hundreds
high.
Of years of like stiff upper lip sort of conditioning, really.
It's mad. No, I I'm sure you got us. I just honestly, I thought it was
thank you very much,
dude, man. I thought it was more than fab, actually. I thought it was just amazing, and
it's cool, yeah.
and it just, I think it resonated with so many people, especially just men, like, guys, we just don't freaking talk about anything. I don't know why.
Yeah,
like we just don't say it because we're worried what people are going to think, or we're going to lose our jobs, or we're going to be this and that.
The scariest thing, right, and I'll give you some loose facts, and this is the thing that made me go, and hopefully, like, I scared someone that's listening to this now. 70%, around 70% of men that take their own life don't even think mental health exists, or that they have any form of mental health problem.
70%.
Oh yeah, around that, I think just over, and that is because one of a lack of education around mental health, which is why it needs to start in primary school, not at GCSE level, at primary school, right? And that is because men, us as men, we see it as it's a means to an end. Life isn't where it is right now, so therefore I want to press reset. And that is so bad. Like, you know,
it's an instant relief to solve
the
situation.
If you are any form of therapy, if you accept and you go, fuck, I'm actually quite struggling here, you decrease your chances of being in a high risk category so much. If you've never shown any sign of mental health, in your opinion, and you kind of don't really think it exists, you're in a high risk category, because you're now in a world in London where, you know, in somewhere like London, where it's a constant treadmill, you're told you've got to be better, 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 better,
oh,
better.
Oh man, I know.
You know, and that is unfortunately what it is. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as, I don't feel like
I'm where I should be in life. And God, that, for anyone so listening, is no reason. There is always another option.
I spoke to this Canadian girl, weirdly, the other day, who said, I don't know how men live in London. She said this. Yeah. It's so competitive. It's such a treadmill. Do you find that you... I do it all the time at the moment. Do you compare yourself to others a lot?
I don't compare myself. I work myself too hard, for sure. I try never to compare myself, but I definitely have that feeling of if I get off, I'm going to be left behind, which I think is more so that kind of vibe. You know, I feel like...
Yeah, that's true. Oh God, if I stop for half a year, is everything going to go?
Yeah. In my head, like, there's times where I go, fuck, I need to just leave the UK for a year and just go somewhere or like do anything.
And you do yoga and just eat leaves and just do nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And not talk because your job is talking.
Yeah, but I'm but to be honest, but then it's a, you know, it's a catch 22 because I want to do that, but I'm so scared of doing that because I'm so scared of losing what I have, you know, and that's what's difficult.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What makes you happy now, Ray?
I don't know. I think it is being around. It's always being around, you know, those friends that I have since when I was young. I said this not too long ago. The happiest place I've ever been in my life, and if you are to watch, I've never watched it back, but I know that if people were to watch it, when I was in I'm a Celeb, that was me, and that was the happiest I've ever been in my life, which sounds fucked up. Because you're in a jungle with nothing. But I know for a fact that, like, that's me. That's Ro. That's Roman. That's not, you know, Roman Capital or whatever. And I struggled real hard when I came out of there with, okay, go back to, get back on the treadmill. I struggled really hard with that because I was like, and I didn't want my phone back. I remember I had a huge panic attack because everyone was like, you've got to switch your phone back on. And I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's weird, you know. So happiness for me, I don't know, but it's somewhere within that realm.
That's so interesting because, like, obviously you're on a big reality show on doing the jungle, but like, you are just living like life. Do you know what I mean? You're waking up and you're not having to worry about anything.
No.
Which is a way more like innate, natural way. And I think where most of these issues come from is we've got a bit of a sick society because our brains are just being bombarded. As we wake up, we're on our phones, just constantly being
nailed. Exactly. I was waking up with the natural daylight. I was going to sleep with when I was kind of told to go to sleep, you know.
I take snapshots in my head of moments, right? Yeah. One moment, when I was traveling around South America and I was with my buddies and we're sitting at a bus stop and I had no phone, nothing, and it was in the Iguazu Falls. And I was like, holy smokes, this is amazing. The other time that I remember, I did a TV show called Hunted, where we had no phones, nothing, and it was day 12 and we were camping in a field and I was with my buddy Spencer and it was sunset and it was a sunny evening and I was just lying there and I woke up the next morning, I went, I am so happy.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There was no emails, phones, yeah. alarm clocks, nothing. Yeah, we had one guy with a camera. It was this. Honestly, we complicate our lives, and the simplistic version of ourselves is the happiest person, I think.
The people who have got it right are the people that don't have phones.
Yes.
Ed Sheeran doesn't have a phone. And every time I see him, he's like, "Gotta give up the phone." I was like, I can't.
What's
live
the
like
tattoo you on the leg? Yeah, did he tattoo your leg? Like, right? Ed Sheeran tattooed Rose.
Yeah, like, it just says Ed was ear. It's like it says 2K7. It wasn't even there. 2017. So it looks like we did it when we were like 8. So it doesn't even make sense. I think I would have been 14 when he had done it if that was the case. But
he probably has no idea of time because he hasn't had a phone for so long.
Yeah, but it's a really nice way of living. And, you know, back to your question, like in terms of happiness, I think for me it is that. And I will be able to accomplish that at some point in my life. It's just when I feel like I want to do that.
We always feel like we're like trying to get to that next bit and then you can chill. Well,
that's
like,
yeah, definitely. But that's also the main thing that my parents always have pushed to me nonstop. And my dad specifically, every single time. And I think that's where I'm so lucky. Like my dad calls me every day, like every day after a show, like he calls me and he's like, "So great on the show today, bro. You were so great. Like you were wicked." You know, and I think that I'm so lucky to have that. But what he always is trying to do is he's trying to make me understand that stop and realize the good moments that are there when they are there and enjoy those moments, you know, because
living in the present. Now.
Because we are in industries where you've got this job, but you're now thinking about the next job. This is going well right now. But where does it then go? Where does it then go? And then after that and after that and after that. You know, my dad's like, you know, don't worry about the jobs that you don't have. They're not there. They will come. Enjoy the ones that you do have. You know, make sure you go into the show every day and think, fuck, look what I do for a living. This is amazing. You know, and enjoy that day. And he's so right. You know, he's so right.
That is insane. I want to ask you one more question because I think it's a good question. I'll say, are you okay at the moment?
Yeah, no, I am actually okay. I think, like, thank you very much. I'm very good.
Dude, I think it's a nice thing to do. Like, we chat about it and to ask each other. I think you and I do that a lot of the time. And yeah, I want to ask you as well, just to make sure. Yeah, I think it's a great thing to do.
No, I think so. My honest answer is I think so. And that's just, I'm fortunate enough to be able to be able to go to a therapist. I'm fortunate enough to be able to speak to my friends and do those types of things. You know, I'm still, I mean, you know, like in any form, anyone in this room would know grieving is like such a weird thing and it will just come at you just like that. You'll be having a great day and then one thing and that's it. And I always go back to when, you know, that for me is, you know, what I experienced last year was, you know, the most traumatic thing I've ever gone through in my life, and I'm learning that that's going to creep back. And I remember asking 17-year-old lads who had lost their best mate when they were 14 to suicide, 14-year-old lad, and I said to them, like, how do I make it better? When does it get better? And the only thing they said is that it never does. And they were so upfront with me, these kids, and they were like it never gets better, but what you understand is you understand each day how to deal with it, and you take each day to understand, okay, I'll come across that, and it's armoring you for each of those days and learning how to deal with it. So yeah, I think that's just kind of where I'm at, I think, you know, and trying to take things in, you know, and just kind of do the jobs that make me happy and not the ones that I'm trying to do because this might get me this and this and this. That's it.
Remy, dude, honestly, man, that was just insane.
That was good fun.
Dude, I really appreciate that more than anything. Listen, you can listen to you on Capital Breakfast every single day. You go and check out everything you're doing. You've got like TV shows left, right and centre at the moment. I hear you're going to be doing something else soon as well, which is
there's a couple of things coming out. We've got quite a cool little football show that's come in.
Have you watched that?
What is surrounding mental health? I want to tell you
how excited are you for that one?
Really. But, you know, because again, it's, you know, it's talking to footballers who are and that's a big thing in terms of, like, you know, mental, you know, because I think it's still a massive taboo around that kind of world. So yeah, there's a lot, but it's all good. But thanks so much for having
me. Dude, listen, I cannot appreciate it more. Your honesty, your openness. And you know, you're just a wicked dude, man. So I just really appreciate it.
I'll give you one more funny story.
Yeah. Come on, give it to me.
This is a story. This is to take the tone back down.
Okay, good.
Right, after such an ethereal thing.
Yeah.
I remember one of the first times I ever went into like an STD clinic, right? The first time I ever went in for a checkup, you know, you're going for a sexual health clinic all the time, right? It's the right thing to do. And
keep saying that, buddy. All right.
Yeah. Kind of bad. I went into the sexual health clinic, and I'm like, I was only just kind of like, you know, I was a bit nervous about it, and like I remember going in there, and I didn't know what was going on. It was like a little bit red down there, and I was like, oh no, what's kind of going on? Like,
that's literally your inner voice as well.
Yeah.
Oh god.
yeah. Am I gonna die? Like all these types of things. Is it gonna fall off? And I remember I went in, and I'm like, you know, seeing all these doctors come out, and, you know, and they call your name, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's fine. And then like a couple of doctors come out, and it's like, you know, they look like lovely women or just like nice guys and all these types of things. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden I hear, Roman. And I look up, and it's this big, burly geezer, right?
Phil Mitchell.
Like, mean as fuck, right? And I'm like, okay. So I get up there, and this is like the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know if this is legal, right? Right? I walk in there, and then I go, yeah, so it's kind of red. And then like, you kind of show him your penis. And then like, so I get my dick out, and I kind of like, I show him, and he just goes, he like goes in close, because you got to go in close. He goes in close. He looks back, stands up, slaps it.
Shut up.
Slaps it, right?
Shut up.
Slaps it.
Sorry.
Like, it's like one part of it's in his hand. The next part of it, he just goes, nah, you're fine.
Shut up.
He goes, it's just skin irritation. You're fine.
Roman, thank you so much. Really, listen, everyone, see you next week. Bye-bye. Those are the episodes that I love.
Yeah, it was deep. It was a bit of a journey. It went very quickly. I was very engrossed.
Were you engrossed in that one?
Mm.
I feel like we can engross in all of them at the moment.
Yeah. No, it was emotional talking about stuff that we touched upon. So, you know.
I'm doing that technique.
You need to ask me like a poignant question first. You can't just not speak.
Are you dating anyone at the moment?
I'm not, actually. I'm in love with a houseplant. So I am dating, essentially. She's got big, big green leaves. She loves a bit of soil. She likes getting dirty. And, oh God, I'm welling up.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We're going to be back for another bonus episode next week with all of the gossip, all of the fun, all of the stories, wedding chat, Mitten being sober, all those kind of things. Get ready for it every single Wednesday without fail. And then we're back again on every single Friday, as always. Thank you for listening. Subscribe. Leave us some comments. Send us some stories at Private Podcast. Have a great weekend. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.